When you start your prayers with praise and your petitions are in line with the Word of God, you will enjoy prayer so much more. Prayer is a vital part of the Christian's life. But many Christians become frustrated in their prayer lives because they begin to realize about the only times they pray are in times of crisis. It seems like every time we pray, we are asking God to get us or someone we know out of a tough situation. Surely there is more to prayer than that. In the first chapter of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul wrote an example of how to pray. In verses 3 through 11, he divides prayer into two areas, praise and petition. Many times in Paul's writings, he would break out into a spontaneous prayer of praise. If there is one element that is missing from most prayers today, it is genuine praise to God. We have so many good things given to us from God that we should never run out of things to praise Him for. If we could learn to praise God in our prayers, it would change our lives dramatically. Paul gives us at least three things we can praise God for. First of all, we need to praise God for the people in our lives. In verse 3, he says, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with joy." Paul was in prison when he wrote these words, but he was still praising God. His heart was filled with the joy as he thought about the people he met and the impact that they had on his life. His spirits were lifted as he thought about the conversion of Lydia and how she ministered to him. He remembered the slave girl and how the demons were cast out of her. And how could he forget the jailhouse experience at Philippi? He was able to witness the salvation of the jailer and the salvation of everyone else in his house. Paul remembered the pain he had suffered from being beaten and how that jailer had doctored those wounds. How could he forget such wonderful people? He couldn't. He remembered to praise God for them, and we should praise God for the people in our lives too. God has blessed us with many wonderful people who make our lives a joy. Most of us have mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews who are all special to us. We should remember to thank God for our family. We must not forget friends and acquaintances who have influenced our lives. We need to thank God for them. There may have been a time when you were really hurting and one of those special people put an arm around you and showed you how much he or she loved you. They provided the help you needed. Now, every time you think of that person, you remember their act of love. Don't forget to praise God for placing that person in your life. Sometimes people will come to your mind out of the blue. You don't know why, you just think about them. Most of the time, you may wonder if something is wrong with them, so you pray for them. It may be that God is bringing those folks to your mind to show you how blessed you are. We just need to praise God for the people He uses to bless our lives. The second thing we need to praise God for is found in Philippians 1, verse 5. We need to praise God for salvation. Paul told the Philippians that he praised God for our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. It had been 10 years since Paul was with the Christians at Philippi. He was glad when they received the gospel, and he was thrilled that they were still walking in the truth of the gospel. When was the last time you thanked God for your own salvation? In the rush of everyday living, it's so easy to forget the great love that God showed us when He saved us. We should thank God for our salvation. We should also thank God if He has saved our family and our friends. Parents who have seen their children place their trust in Jesus have a great reason to praise God. It's a comfort and a joy to me to know that many of my friends and family members have accepted the Lord. We need to praise God for the salvation He has given. There is still another reason we can praise God. Verse 6 describes the faithfulness of God. We need to praise God for His faithfulness. The verse says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Wow. That's faithful. God promised that the work He started, He will finish. God offers salvation to those who would believe in Him, and He promises to receive them. Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." We have that promise from God Himself. He will receive those that come to Him. I am living proof that He is faithful to keep His word. God has also promised to keep those He has saved. What peace of mind that gives to the Christian to know that God began the work of salvation and He is faithful to keep us saved. I am so glad that God did not put the security of salvation in my hands because, honestly, I would have blown it a long time ago. Jesus said that He is the one who holds on to those who are saved. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, we find Jesus saying, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What a great promise from God. We claim this promise, but have you ever thanked God and praised Him for it? Why not? God not only initiates salvation, but He continues it and guarantees its completion. We have a great deal to praise God for. After we have properly praised God, then I believe we are ready to make our petitions to Him on behalf of others. In verse 9 of Philippians chapter 1, we read that Paul prayed for the Philippian Christians to increase in love. He writes, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment." When we pray for others, we need to pray that their love would increase. Love never reaches a saturation point. We should pray that there would be a perpetual flood of love in the lives of the people we pray for. But there are two qualities about love that must not be overlooked. Love needs to increase in knowledge and discernment. Those two qualities keep love in proper balance. Knowledge is recognizing the principles from the Word of God, and discernment is the practical application of spiritual knowledge. When we grow in love by knowledge and discernment, it enables us to love what God commands in the way He reveals. Another request we can make for the people we pray for is that they would live a godly lifestyle. When we pray for others, we should pray that they would be without sin. Paul prayed in verse 10 that you may be without offense. There is nothing wrong with praying for others to be free from sin. The choice is still theirs, of course, but we can pray that they would live a godly lifestyle. We should also ask God to help our fellow Christians grow in the fruits of righteousness, as stated in verse 11. Let us not leave anything to chance. When you pray for others, pray specifically that they will grow in love, be without sin, and grow in the fruits of righteousness. When you start your prayers off with praise and your petitions are in line with the Word of God, you will enjoy prayer so much more and you will see greater results. Is there someone you need to pray for? Why not pray for them right now?